the Spirit. But since I preached at a camp on Friday night of camp, it would be kind of silly to preach it again, wouldn't it? So, I did put it in the Galatians playlist on YouTube. So if in the future somebody's trying to watch the Galatians sermons in order, it'll be there where it should be. Walk in the Spirit. If you haven't heard it, if you weren't at camp, it's on YouTube. Amen? But tonight we will look at these three verses from a different perspective here in Galatians 5 relative to the flesh and the Spirit. Notice verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. So I'd like to focus on that phrase, these are contrary, tonight, talking about the flesh and the Spirit. So let's pray. Lord, I pray that we would learn tonight things that would help us serve you as we strive to walk in the Spirit. And Lord, I pray that the Word of God would go forth with power and that you would guide us and use your Word now in our hearts. We are grateful for this opportunity and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, of course, walk in the Spirit is God's perfect will for us. Again, we talked about this on the Friday night at family camp, that God does not want us to walk in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And he gives us the contrast in this whole passage. We see the works of the flesh, which is verses 19, 20, and 21, versus the fruit of the Spirit, which is verses 22 and 23. Of course, it's God's will that we walk in the Spirit. God promises here that if we do, verse 16, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Again, we talked about this previously, but it's always one or the other. It can't be both simultaneously. We are either walking in the Spirit or we are walking in the flesh. Look at Romans 8, 5, if you would, quickly, and we'll see this contrast. Romans 8, 5, where God says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Verse 9, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of Christ dwell in you." Sorry, verse 8 is what I meant. "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." You can't please God in the flesh. And at any given time, as we talked about, we are walking in the flesh or we are walking in the Spirit. And Paul mentions there down in verse 24, if you want to turn there, of Galatians 5. Sorry, I didn't tell you where to go. Galatians 5, 24. "They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." And the flesh, of course, was crucified when we got saved. And it's dead. And we need to not allow it to run our lives. So now the focus of tonight is this verse 17. It says, "The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other." So, as I mentioned, you can't do both simultaneously, but we also see that they are actually always at enmity with each other. That's what it means by contrary. They don't get along. The Spirit and the flesh do not mix, if you will. They will never agree. They will never get along. And God wants us to, of course, be walking in the Spirit. But he also wants us to be led by the Spirit, yielded to the Spirit, as we talked again about family camp. Jesus, if you go to John chapter 4, explained it this way in talking to the woman at the well. John 4, verse 24. She was trying to start an argument, if you will, about where we should worship God. She was saying, "Oh, some people say it should be at Jerusalem. Some people say it should be here in our city." Jesus said in verse 24, "God is a spirit." So it's not the physical location that matters. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, notice in that verse, the first Spirit is capitalized because that's talking about God, the Holy Spirit. The second Spirit is not capitalized because that's talking about our spirit. So what God is teaching us is that the flesh and the spirit do not get along. Now, you and I have a spirit. It's been given life and we got saved. We also are indwelt by the Holy Spirit as well. Capital S. So he lives in us, but he's also reignited or given life to our spirit, which was dead before we got saved, which is why an unsaved person cannot truly worship God. Because you can only worship God in the spirit. Unsaved people don't have a spirit that's alive, it's dead. And will stay dead if they don't get saved. So we cannot therefore worship God, as we see here in John 4:24, in our flesh. It's impossible. Why? They're contrary to one to the other. You can't mix them. You can't say, well, I'm going to use the avenue of the flesh to appeal to my spirit. Which is, of course, what rock music tries to do, isn't it, in church. It says, I'm going to use the avenue of music that appeals to man's flesh to speak to his spirit, to encourage him to worship a God who is spirit. Well, that's basically, God says impossible because they're contrary, one to the other. So that, Galatians 5:17, you cannot do the things that you would. If you're walking in the Spirit, then you're yielding the fruit of the Spirit, which we've talked about, right? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. So that means that you and I are in the middle of a battle. Amen? Started the day we got saved, and it will last until we leave this earth through death or the rapture. And that battle is between the flesh and the spirit. Paul understood this struggle. Go to Romans 7 and we'll see it. Romans 7:15. Because he was human like the rest of us. And he faced this same contrary or contradiction or battle between the flesh and the spirit. Romans 7:15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. What's he saying? He's saying, I have right intentions, but sometimes the flesh wins. And I do what I would rather not do or what I hate. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it's good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. To will, in other words, to do the right thing is there. But how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members. So we all are facing the same battle where the inward man delights in God's word, but our members, our flesh, as it says there, wars. See verse 23, warring. There's that battle. This war between our members, or the flesh, and the inward man, our spirit, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. So God is not here giving us a license to sin or permission to sin. What he is explaining that there's a war. Amen? We're in the middle of a war. Every day, it's a war between the flesh and the spirit, because they are contrary one to the other. So we cannot serve God in our flesh. We can only serve God in the spirit. Paul, if you go to 2 Corinthians 12, I know you're familiar with this, but Paul thought that he could be more effective if God took away the thorn that he had, we don't know what it was, but it was obviously something that could be seen, because we saw that recently in Galatians, didn't we? He said he had a malady of some sort, and so he thought that, well, God, if God would remove this, I'll be more effective. So he asked God three times to take it away. And verse 9, God said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So he said so three times, God, please take this thorn away. And God said, no. You know why? Because it kept Paul humble, kept him weak, which what? Kept him reliant upon God. That's why he then said, most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me, that I may walk in the Spirit. So it's God's will that we, yes, walk in the Spirit, but that means we cannot listen to, follow, walk in the flesh. Can't do both because they're contrary. He finishes there in Galatians 5:18. But if you led of the Spirit, this is what God wants. That's what he means by walking in the Spirit. Is it's actually leading us. You know, Romans 8:14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We are to be led of the Spirit. He is there to guide us. He's there to lead us. Look at John 14:26. He has many missions, if you will, for the Christian. He convicts us of sin. As we know, he gives our spirit life. He performs many great things in our lives, helps us to understand the Word. That's what it says here in John 14:26. But the Comforter, who is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send my name, he shall teach you all things. And bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So notice, one of the things he does is teach us the Word of God. Which is another reason why an unsaved person can't understand the Word of God. John 16, verse 13, says he also guides us. Notice John 16, 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So that is the Holy Spirit who indwells us, who has given our spirit life, but he and the flesh are contrary. So if we're choosing to walk in the flesh, we're not being led of the Spirit. Matter of fact, we are grieving him, aren't we? Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, or maybe 17, says, quench not the Spirit. Quench means like when you pour water on a fire. Don't do that to the Spirit. How would we do that to the Spirit? By walking in the flesh. So let us never forget, they will never get along. They will always be at enmity one with another because they are contrary one to the other, which is why we cannot walk in the flesh and serve God. We cannot walk in the flesh and serve God or worship God on and on. We must be walking in the Spirit and Him alone because they are contrary. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this reminder tonight about the flesh versus the Spirit. And I pray, Lord, that we would strive to daily walk in the Spirit, that we might honor and please you and be led into truth. And Lord, when the flesh rears its head, may we remind our flesh that it's crucified, and may we not listen. So help us, Lord, to be this kind of a Christian who is led by the Spirit of God. Thank you, in Jesus' name, amen.